Most High, all-powerful, all-good Lord, all praise is yours, all glory, all honor, and blessing. Be praised, my Lord, through all your creatures, especially through my Lord, brother, son, who brings the day. You give light through him, and he is beautiful and radiant in all his splendor. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness. Be praised, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars in the heavens. You have made them bright, precious, and beautiful. Be praised, my Lord, through brothers Wind and Air and clouds and storms and all the weather through which you give your creatures sustenance. Be praised, my Lord, through Sister Water. She is very useful and humble and precious and pure. Be praised, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you brighten the night. He is beautiful and cheerful and powerful and strong. Be praised, my Lord, through our sister Mother Earth, who feeds us and rules us, produces various fruits with colored flowers and herbs. Be praised, my Lord, through those who forgive for love of you, through those who endure sickness and trial. Happy are those who endure in peace by you, Most High. They will be crowned. Amen. Please be seated. In the first reading for this Sunday, which we didn't hear this morning because it's a family mass, God says to Moses, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." I removed my sandals this morning, not because this pulpit is holy, or even the sanctuary is holy ground, or the whole church is holy ground, but as a metaphor, a visual, that the whole earth is holy ground, even if it's paved over with concrete or marble or wood. We, all of us, are standing on holy ground every minute of every day, because God created the earth as holy, and we are its stewards. You can see how this realization would change us if we just held on to it. It changes the way we look at Brother Moon and Sister Sun, wind and air, water and fire. Might change my opinion of the rain all the time. And yes, climate change. Dogs and cats and other human beings, and of course, Mother Earth. It gives a whole new meaning to sustainability and ecology and recycling. I promised Rev. Wendy I would mention recycling. If I realize the earth itself is holy ground, I won't throw the candy wrapper or the McDonald's box or the cigarette butt out the window of my car. And I have seen people do those. I won't spit on the ground or throw my gun there. And here at St. Joseph's, again, I will not throw garbage in the recycling bins in Van Royen Hall. From the creation of the world, human beings were given a beautiful garden, the world, for which Eden was simply a symbol. And God told us to take care of it, to care for it. Those of you who are attending our Lenten program will recognize the prayer I opened this sermon with, the Canticle of St. Francis of Assisi. Francis got it. He got the incarnation of God. We often, Christians though we are, don't get it. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to become human, one of us. God loves the world, not just you and me and other human beings, but the whole created world, sun and moon and planets and earth and water and air and trees. Trees. I never liked today's gospel very much. I never paid much attention to it, to tell you the truth, but the idea of the guy coming along and wanting to cut down the poor old fig tree didn't appeal to me. However, this week, when I was thinking about it and reflecting on it, I realized that I had it wrong. Jesus tells this parable of the landowner cursing a poor tree and insisting on its being cut down. There's another version of this that's even worse. Jesus himself curses the fig tree. But I don't have to talk about that today. But this parable is about Jesus using an opportunity to remind us that someone cared about the tree, cared for the tree, and in caring for the tree, saves the life of the tree. Remember, the gardener says, wait, let me dig around it. Let me put some manure on it. And then come back in a year and see. And if there's fruit on it, we'll spare it. If not, you can cut it down then. But you know the gardener feels pretty sure that if he takes care of this tree, there will be fruit on it. The lesson Jesus is teaching is that we have to care for the tree and the grass and all of the rest of it. And by extension, care for one another. My mother was a wonderful gardener. She came from a farm in Ireland, and she loved the earth and everything that grew in it. She could grow anything. We had a little tiny patch of land in Brooklyn in our backyard, and it was full of flowers of all kinds. I couldn't even tell you the names of most of them, but she had roses, and she had lilies of the valley, and she had some yellow flower that we used to call the Brooklyn flower. I don't even know what it really is. But she cared for it, and so we always had it, and we had tomatoes, and we had some other things as well. My brother inherited that. I didn't. I love the earth. I love the flowers. I can appreciate them. I love the vegetables and the trees, but the green thumb is not there. And some of you, I know, are master gardeners. And how wonderful is that, to actually participate in God's creation? But what about the rest of us? What can we do? We can learn to reverence and care for the earth. We can't actually walk barefoot all day, every day, but we can tread lightly. We can act in big ways and small to reduce our carbon footprint. We can resist calls for bigger and better machines, more and more damaging ways of proceeding, such as mountaintopping for coal in Appalachia and fracking in Florida. And that's not politics. That is scripture. That is the gospel. In small ways, we can care for our little pieces of land, like my mother did. We can care for our helpless animals who need us and love us without condition. And we can care for each other. Richard Rohr, whose program, Embracing an Alternative Orthodoxy, which we are using for our Lenten program, says that individualism is the biggest heresy. Individualism is the biggest heresy. And yet, here in America, we pride ourselves on it. The American hero is the lone cowboy. But the truth is, we're not lone cowboys. Even the lone cowboy wasn't a lone cowboy. We are dependent on other people. We need other people. And we are called to God as a people. As a people. I'm preaching to the converted because I know here in St. Joseph's, we care for each other very well. A couple of weeks ago, an elderly woman here is a widow, got a phone call saying that her only child, her son, was dying. It happened during the Sunday morning. And so when the services were over, I went over to her house. People from St. Joseph's were already there and had brought her food and were coming back to give her supper. Other friends were taking her out for a concert or something that she really wanted to go to, and she wanted to get her mind off what was making her feel so sad. 2 weeks later, she had been out to visit her son, came back on a Saturday night, and the Sunday morning he died. Again, I went over to the house. Father Marty had already been there. 3 members of the congregation were there. 2 more arrived. People were going to bring her supper. 1 person even offered to stay overnight with her so she wouldn't be alone. And when she was flying back up to where her son lived for the memorial service, somebody wanted to know, could they fly with her so she wouldn't have to fly alone? That's St. Joseph's. I think that's one of the things that attracts us all to St. Joseph's. But that is what we are called to do for everyone, not just us, but everyone. We all have neighbors, friends, even people we don't like, who sometimes get sick, who sometimes have troubles, who are sometimes bereaved. And we are called to reach out. And harder than that, we are called to accept the help of others when we need it, and to allow people to minister to us when we need ministering too. That's the harder part for us lone cowboys. This is the way of God, though. This is the way of God. The human traits of greed, selfishness, pride, and ignorance place all of humanity, innocent and guilty, in peril. And we certainly know that from the TV news and the newspapers and all of the pundits who keep warning us what will happen if we don't change our ways. True change of heart might save us. Repentance, acknowledging the problem and changing our habits, has to be a way of life today if we are to survive and if our planet is to survive. The urgency is obvious. Repentance, conversion of heart, does not mean being filled and tormented by guilt. Repentance does not mean being tortured by guilt, but rather it means being open and willing to accept the work of the Spirit within us. Spirituality is never just me and God. It's always me and God for the world. Me and God for others, the Jesuits say. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Let us always live in the awareness that every step we take is on holy ground for all the holy creation that God has made. Amen.